Good morning, Agape. How are you doing? Man, it's great to be with you guys. I'm in my house today. Disregard the mess behind me. Hey, you know what? It's life. We all have it. Dirty dishes and everything like that. That's all part of it, and it's just life, right? So forgive me. But man, really excited to be with you this morning. And before we get started, let's just say a quick word of prayer, because I think once we get started, it's really gonna flow together, and we'll have a chance to stop and pray then. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, we just take this moment and this time to slow our thoughts, Father, so we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and you would help me, Lord, to be able to hear your leading and your guiding, and that I would speak the things that you would have me to speak, Lord. And that the things that you don't have planned or purpose to be spoken today, I'll totally forget about. And I pray that the listeners will have ears to hear, Father, and be able to put things to practice in their life, and to be able to grow more into the fullness of your stature, and to become more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we are in mid-January. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about some practical things. You know, our spiritual beliefs and our spiritual life, our spiritual principles should affect us practically. They should be changing the way that we act. Our spiritual practices should be changing the way that we think. Our spiritual practices should be helping us to control our emotions and our highs and our lows, and to be able to regulate the life that we live so that we can be steadfast with Him and our faith in Him. And so it's mid-January, which January is the Monday of the work week, right? And you guys have been snowed in, cold. I don't want to tell you that I'm jealous of you, because I am. I love a good snowstorm. Being stuck in the house and going out and shoveling snow, and I really do love it. I probably would not like it all winter, but I do like it. I don't want to tell you this, but I will. It's like 89 degrees today, and I'm in the air conditioning because it's just too hot outside. Yeah, so if we could switch places for a week, I would definitely do it, because oh man, snow sounds awesome. But mid-January, let's do a quick check-in. How many of you are maintaining your New Year's resolutions, your new goals? How you been doing on those? Yeah, some are doing good, some are doing bad. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know how you're responding to my question, but that's okay. I still know what I'm gonna say to you. But what I want to write down, what I want to write down, this is my first point. What I want to talk to you about today is some simple steps of how we can do better at reaching our goals, both in the natural realm as well as in the spiritual realm. And actually, the spiritual realm should be influencing and impacting us in the natural realm. And there are a lot of biblical principles. You know, I read books, and sometimes written by people that are Christians, but written from more of a secular standpoint. Sometimes they're not Christians, and sometimes I read these things and I think, you know what? They have copied the Bible. They don't know it, but the things that they're saying come straight from the Bible, straight from God's Word, biblical principles. And they've discovered that they work when they even do put these principles to practice. And they're hijacking, if they're not believers, they're hijacking God's system, which, you know, good for them, I guess, but it'd be better if they were in the kingdom. But the way God created human beings, the way He created us, we all function the same way. We have a renewed spirit. We have God's spirit on the inside of us, which is a huge help. We should have the advantage to those who don't have God in their life. And sometimes it seems to be reversed, and that extremely frustrates me. That the church, you know, I think I've said it to you guys before, we should be the wealthiest, the happiest, the most successful, the most put together, the most solid people that people will see in the community. That should be us. You know, I'm not saying that we need to have a prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about through diligence and through God leading us and through his wisdom, we should be leading the community. And so how are we going to be disciplined? And that's what I want to talk about. The title of this message is The 4 D's to Discipline. And there's been a journey that I've been on in my life. I used to tell people, I'm not a very disciplined person. In high school, people would probably say that I was disciplined because of sports, my work ethics, and things like that. And in that regard, yes. But, you know, I don't, you know, consider myself to be extremely disciplined. I was telling a friend of mine that the other day. Well, this is probably several months ago. And he looked at me and he said, "What do you mean?" He's like, you like exercise like 3-4 times a week. He's like, "I wish I had that discipline." And I always looked at it as something else, and we'll get to that. But there's 4 D's. D as in dog. To discipline. And you know what, one thing that really helps, and you've gotta be able to be smart enough to understand yourself. You gotta be able to determine or decipher the things, and those aren't, well, one of them is one of the D's. You have to be able to discern the thing that you're actually thinking and that you're actually wanting. You've got to be able to determine what you have and what desire you want, which is hard. You have to be honest with yourself. We say all the time, and New Year's resolutions and new goals, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. But then we find ourselves not being able to do it. And so one thing that helps me is it's in the Bible, Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says to write the vision down, right? Write your goal down. And what I have found, let's take this another step further. Just writing down that end goal is not the only thing that I do. But I've learned that the more that I journal or I write about what I'm trying to do, the challenges, the successes, why I didn't do what I wanted to do that day. And that helps me be in a space where I'm living in reality of what my life is doing, of what I'm actually doing. We need to be people of our word. And that's, you know, we make goals all the time, but if we really want something, we should be sticking with it. If that's something that we've really, you know, that's what we're going for. And so let's start out Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 will lead us into the first D. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So the first D that we have to look at is desire. What do you desire in your life? What change do you desire in your life? And here's the hard part, okay? Proverbs says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, right? Matthew, Jesus says, the things that proceeded out of the heart is what defileth the man, not the things that goes into the stomach. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, the things that we speak. And Luke 6:45, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is easy if we can get to the root of the behavior, of the issue, then it's easier to change the actions. And it's unfortunate many times as Christians, we focus on the actions, the behavior, and we try to change that. But if we can go to the heart and find out where our desires are, and if we can articulate exactly what we do desire, that is a huge step in the right direction to get to where we want to go. Let's just take, for example, most people during New Year's have a goal for their physical health. Diet changes, exercise changes. Let's just take those two. Most people I find, and I do it myself, if those are my goals, the things that I end up speaking are, I would like to order pizza tonight. I would die for some ice cream. I really want some ice cream. And what happens that we need to do, we need to be smart enough to listen to ourselves, because the things that we're speaking are showing what we really desire. Now, you might desire to be physically fit and in good shape, but if you're constantly saying, I wish I could eat this, or I wish I could be lazy and not go exercise. Like, those are desires. But if you can map out your goals and your visions and you find out, no, I really, like, having good health is a real high priority in my life. I really want it. Then when you get this, I want ice cream, you can counter that with, I want this thing. And we'll talk more about that, because there's steps that you can do to make it easier. You should be living life in a way that everything isn't difficult. There's two tiers of discipline that I think. Number one is you just force yourself to do it. And some people are good at that. They go cold turkey and they make a change and they stick with it. You know, these guys are great athletes and they're just very disciplined. But that's very hard to do. And I'm a little bit lazy. I'm a little bit like, I like the easy way. And so I think I've stumbled onto a way that I know it works for me. Hopefully it will work for you. But I have to be honest with myself about my desires. So there's this super strict discipline. I never miss a this. I never miss a that. I always do this, which is really hard to live by, especially if that's not been your habit for the last several years. Because our bodies, especially when it comes to the activity and what we eat, they get into a pattern and they crave the things that they've been having. Anyways, it's challenging to just do that cold turkey. The second tier of discipline is when you do something because you love it. And people view that as being disciplined, whereas that's what my buddy was talking about. He's like, you're disciplined. You do this. And I was like, oh, but I enjoy that. Like I don't want to miss. Because of the things that I enjoy of the hard work, which is what we're going to get to in the second one, or the third one. But you have to be honest with yourself. Do you really want to have a healthier lifestyle? If you do, write it down. And I don't mean just write down, have a healthier lifestyle. Write out your action steps, okay? It starts with your desire. And that leads us, okay? Once you decide, it moves us into the second D, which is decide or determine. If you really want something, then make that decision and even write that down. Today I decide. I determine that I want this. And once you have that determination, that is basically saying, I'm making a decision that I'm going to do some type of action, some type of step to get towards what I want. Now, I'm not saying you need to be extremely into it and super disciplined, okay? That's what normally train wrecks our desires to change, is that we think that the only way to do it is to have it super intense, and we normally can't maintain that intensity. So you have to make a decision. You have to determine that you want to do something. And it doesn't mean, this isn't the phase where you set out a plan and you have everything listed out. This is where you say, hey, God, this is what I want. And you hold it in front of him with open hands. And you say, now lead me to the way, you know, order my steps. Give me the directions. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says that Jesus, he set his face towards Jerusalem. Which meant from that point on, he knew it was time to go to the cross. He knew it was time. It was the ordained and the appointed time for him to go to Jerusalem and for the crucifixion and all that to happen. So he set his face towards Jerusalem. He didn't do all the things, but he said, no, this is where I'm going. This is my determination. That's where my life is heading. That's my determination, is to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is to go there. He maybe didn't know, it doesn't say, but he maybe didn't know all the minute details and the nuances of that journey, but that was the big picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul says that whatever each one determines in their heart, he's talking about giving, but Paul's very smart, and he knows that people aren't going to give what they haven't determined in their heart to give. And he says we need to determine in our heart to give. You want to be a better tither? Listen, decide. That's your desire, right? And then decide and be determined and determine in your heart, I want to be a better tither. Then when you get to church, You don't have to think about it. You don't have to have that inner dialogue. Can I give this? You made the decision. No, I've determined in my heart, this is what I'm going to do. This is my goal. This is the kind of Christian that I want to be. Determine in your heart. And then when you get to the situation where you have to take those steps, there's no discussion. There's no inner dialogue. Well, there might be a little. But you already have that clear path. And so the first level of determination is to decide on small steps. This is, I've seen some other psychiatrists and different people, they say the issue isn't that people don't have goals. It's that the problem is that we don't make the action steps or the smaller goals towards that bigger goal. We don't make them small enough that we cannot not do it. Double negative. It's so small that you can't not do it. You know, it could be simple things. If you want to read more in your Bible more, it could be, hey, I want to read 5 minutes before I go to bed. I don't know how many verses, how many chapters, that doesn't matter. I just want to read 5 minutes because I know that the toughest thing is just starting. And once you start, that turns into 20 minutes of reading. But set yourself up with, I want to read 1 minute before I go to bed in the Bible. I promise you, you will never read just 1 minute. And if some nights you do, great, awesome. That was your goal. You did it. I think I mentioned before, I really dislike clutter, but my house is super cluttered. And so I set a really, really, really small goal. I don't want anything on the kitchen table before I go to bed. I want the kitchen table cleaned. Guess what? Not only is the kitchen table cleaned, but the bags that get put in the corners and the shoes and everything, that gets cleaned and organized too, because once you start, it just snowballs. So make that first action step so easy you cannot not do it. And then once you get good at that, you go into the next level, which is diligence. And diligence is almost a discipline, but it's not quite to having the character, really, and the behavior of someone who's super disciplined, okay? But diligence, to me, diligence is different than discipline. Discipline is, I never miss this because I am disciplined. And I you know... And there is that part of our spiritual life that we need to get to. But diligence for me is saying every opportunity that I have to do that action step, I'm going to do it. Every opportunity. I'm just going to keep looking for that opportunity. That's how, you know, I probably run and exercise consistently over the last 5 years because I've been diligent. I wouldn't even say that I'm disciplined. I would say it's because I've been diligent. Whenever there's an opportunity, I say, oh, I got 40 minutes. I'm going to go do that. I really want to go sit on the couch, but I also really want to reach this goal. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. That doesn't, to me, when I read that, that doesn't seem like he's saying, hey, make sure that every morning at 5 a.m. you're up doing your devotions. Diligence is more like, it's not even limited. This is where I don't like discipline, where it's like such a strict schedule, because when it's that, it even can limit you. Because this is like, hey, be diligent. Always, always be pursuing and walking towards that goal. Always have that mindset. I'm going to be diligent to present myself approved to God. 2 Peter 1:10 says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Be diligent. It's not a schedule that you need to be disciplined about. It's a heart attitude. Diligence to me is we're building on that desire and we're making that decision, and now we're being diligent. It's not a list, it's not a schedule, it's not a routine. It's I want that. Therefore, whenever the opportunity is there, I'm gonna do it. Whenever there's an opportunity to read 10 minutes because I want to learn something, I'm gonna do it. And in the beginning stages of this, it might be a week that I just didn't see the time when I could read those 10 minutes. But the more practice that you do in being diligent, diligence is to me is just continuing to look at the thing that you've determined to do, that you've decided that you desire to do, and be diligent. It's not the end goal, but after a while, you're going to find that is the thing that bridges you over into having a super high discipline in your life, and whatever behavior or spiritual growth or wisdom, whatever it is that you want to grow in. And so you read that chapter, you do that workout, you learn a skill, you do one thing at a time. It is the process. And in this process, if you can add something to this process, okay? Hope this is okay. I feel like this is a lot of just information about what I do. You can change things, but this is what I find. It works brilliantly in my life. When I'm in that diligence stage, you have to begin to find things that you love about the difficult process. Exercise. You have to find the thing that you love within the difficulty or the challenge or the hardness of doing it. I don't love feeling tired, worn out. I don't like the way I feel when I'm running and I feel like I'm about to drop dead, about to faint. I don't like that discomfort. But you know what? I love how I feel 30 minutes after my run. Oh, I love it. And so when I'm able to notice, this is the thing, this is also part of writing it down. When you're in that diligence stage, write it down. Man, I ran today and my evening was 1,000 times better. All of a sudden you start seeing the fruit. All of a sudden you start seeing the good things. All of a sudden you start seeing like, I like this. And once you get that established and you start to see, and you know, and then one day you don't do it, it's okay. You're not on a rigid routine. One day you don't do it, guess what? I have that multiple times a year in my exercise desire to be in better shape. Guess what? I feel horrible. I go to bed at 9 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I kind of have a little bit of a headache. I'm feeling groggy. Man, I'm just like, oh, I'm not feeling very good, low energy. And then I go, oh, you know what? I sat on the couch for an hour instead of exercise today. Awesome. Put that negative association with the results of doing what you thought you wanted to do, which was sit on the couch. Man, if you can learn how to do this with spiritual truths and spiritual principles, meaning in your spiritual growth. Listen, I don't read the Bible because I have to. I used to do that. It didn't lead me to very much success. It led me to a lot of guilt, a lot of condemnation. I read the Bible because I want to. Sometimes I might go a couple of days where I don't read the Bible, and I can notice myself. Start noticing and start writing those things down. I can tell you, and I've told my boys sometimes, I say, boys, I'm just going to tell you, if I seem a little bit frustrated or a little bit on edge tonight, I'm going to tell you, I haven't read my Bible in 3 days, and that affects me. It affects my behavior. Or boys, like, listen, I'm going to go run because I know I'm just in this crabby mood, and I know running helps me. So I know we want to play a game or want to do whatever. Give me 30 minutes because that's going to help me, because I know it's going to put me in the place that I want to be. And once you have that, it helps you so much. You know, I don't necessarily like to just sit down and read a ton, but I do love reading the Bible. And here's why I love reading the Bible. The more I read the Bible, the wiser I am, and the better decisions I make, and the better my life is. So when I learn how to fall in love with having a better life, reading the Bible is easy. I desire it. I want to read my Bible. When I notice that I'm starting to get into worry and anxiety, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a second. Just give me 20 minutes. Or 5 minutes, or whatever amount of time it is, because I know how much it affects my life, and that makes it easy. And that puts us into a place where we're able to be disciplined, so to speak, because we love to do it. If you see people that are really healthy and disciplined, so that's the fourth one, right? Discipline. We already talked about the two tiers. One is just you have to do it because you're forced to do it, because that's what discipline says to do. And the other one that I've found, and there might be other tiers or other levels or degrees of discipline, but once you're determined and diligent to do something And you do that for a while, all of the sudden you become, and you have become disciplined. That's why my buddy is like, you're disciplined. You run 3-4 times a week. And I said, oh, I don't think I'm disciplined, because I tell you what, I'm not the guy that gets up at 5:30. I'm not the guy that says I can't miss this workout day or that. I'm not that guy. He's like, yeah, but you do it all the time. I said, well, I guess so. To me, it's just that diligence of when I have an opportunity, I'm going to do it. And that transforms into discipline. If you see someone who's extremely fit and has a lifestyle of healthy, eating healthy, exercising regularly, they don't do it because they thought it was a good idea. They do it because they love that life. And you can, I've been around some people like that. And you know, we go, maybe we'll go eat some junk food or whatever. They're like, oh man, it tastes so good, but I feel sluggish, you know, that sugar, that whatever. You find people that read the Bible all the time. It's not because, maybe some people do this, but if they're reading the Bible all the time and they're living out this amazing life and they have faith and they're stable and they're not double-minded, they're not like indecisive, they're discerning, they're able to, listen, the reason that they're that way, number one, is because they read their Bible. And once they become that way, it's addictive. Living life where your decisions are good, I make bad decisions sometimes, and I hate it. That's okay. Okay, so one area, we probably all have financial goals, right? I have always had credit card debt my whole life, especially here. You know, you got to pull money over, you got to go to the bank to exchange money. It's just easier at the gas station to give them your credit card. And then all of a sudden you have credit card debt, and it's a bill you can't pay off in one payment. You got to, now you're looking at like 4 or 5 months. You know how it is. We all know how it is. I have gone through a period of being very diligent to not use my credit card, because I decided that I didn't want to have debt, because that's what I really desired in my life. And I went through a season, and I have fallen in love with not having debt. It is so amazing. And when you fall in love with that, it's not, oh, I'm not going to use my credit card because I read a book and they said I shouldn't do it. No, it's because, you know what? I've worked really hard and I have debt. I'm not even going to put anything on there. I don't like that when I go into my bank account and all it takes is one. And then it snowballs, you know, one use of the credit card, then it snowballs, and then it's open almost. It's like, it's $1,000 on your credit card. Because I love going into my bank account and going, oh, yeah, there was a subscription, $25 a month, that just went through, I better pay that off. What's worked the best for me to not carry credit card debt is to fall in love with not having it. Because once I love that, I'm going to be super disciplined. Though that type of discipline is gonna serve you much better in your life. It's gonna last a long time. Whether it's a spiritual discipline of reading and praying, I love how I feel after I pray. And there are days I get busy in work a couple days, then I got a drive home for 40 minutes, and I just find myself praying. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, like a thirsty soul. You know, I haven't prayed much lately, and I just start doing it, and you. Fall in love and desire the good things, the fruit of those difficult things that you've done. And you will find yourself being extremely disciplined. And people will be like, well, that person's disciplined. They're always doing this. They're always exercising. They're always eating healthy. They're always, you know, if they know you well enough, they never have credit card debt. They never, you know, they never get really like blindsided by the devil. You never see them worrying or fretting. Or if you establish these things in your life, but you've got to start with the heart. Because you're never going to do something that you don't want to do. So here's my challenge. Find out what you really want. And I think that the only way to having the life that we want is for there to be freedom. If you don't want to tithe, be honest. I have no desire to tithe. Start there. Because you know what's going to happen. Beware though. Because once you do that, you're starting in truth. Your own real truth. Your own reality of what you really feel. And the Holy Spirit's going to start leading you. Because once you come to a place of truth, he can start working with you, and he's going to lead you to actually wanting to give, because that's just the way the Holy Spirit is. But you got to start with truth. You got to start with your heart. You got to start with your desires. There are days when I come home and I go, I don't want to go work out. I want to just lay on the couch. And 5 minutes after laying on the couch, I'm like, oh, but I don't want to feel bad either. I don't want to feel sluggish. Okay, and then I go do it. Because it's this process of being diligent to the point of being disciplined. So figure out your desires, deal with ones you don't like, work on them, change them, make a decision, be determined. Just be diligent, small steps, a little bit here, a little bit there, until it becomes a pattern and a habit, and then you step into discipline, and your life will change. God will take what you desire, and he'll bring it to pass in your life. Guys, it's been, my time is up. So sorry. I love you guys. I hope you're keeping warm. I won't put any video at the end of the thing this week of the sunshine here in Thailand, but man, have a great week. Figure out what you desire, move on to the next step, and then move on to the next step. And before you know it, your life can be completely different by the help of the Holy Spirit. Love you guys. Bye.